Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Welcome to the April 9th edition of the Without a Roof radio program with your host, Guillermo Mash, here on the Spring Pledge Drive edition, show number 2. With the good grace of this station and our supporters, I'm doing twice a week now, Mondays and Wednesdays, 5 to 5:30, bringing a face and a voice to poverty, the worst form of violence. And a huge shout out to all the supporters, underwriters, and the station themselves for providing us with this platform. If you are so moved, and I hope you are, give a call, 895-0131, and make your pledge to community radio at its finest. And speaking of community radio at its finest, neat program today. I really had a lot of joy. I just had a whole room full of eighth graders and a couple of faculty in here producing the last radio program around Abandon from eighth grade project, Chico Country Day. And just seeing the excitement and seeing the will and care that these students had and the support they had from faculty around their abandoned project on homelessness, their eighth grade project, was very uplifting to me, and I know it will be for you. That'll lead our show. After that, we have an interview with Scott Huber, who is a Chico City Council candidate who went homeless to raise awareness around the issue of homelessness, and he is a city candidate for council here in the 2018 cycle of elections. Also had a chance to talk with Richard Munzer, who helped mentor and kind of keep an eye on Mr. Huber while he was out on the street. And I also am blessed to be able to present about half. I'm going to try to fit the other half in on Wednesday. But Chico Friends on the Street did a whole business from the floor around what they do on the plaza, providing love and care and hospitality and assistance. In other programs, you'll have heard the term hungry, angry, lonely, tired. No better group that helps with that. So once again, this is our pledge drive. And I really do appreciate all of our listeners and all of our folks without a roof. And give us a call with your pledge, please. Monthly donations are the best. $10 a month, $120 a year would be just a wonderful thing to hear ringing through on the phones. 895-0131.
Hello, KZFR from Chico Country Day School.
All right. We've got a bunch of wonderful students here. Eighth grade project abandoned at Chico Country Day School. We have a couple of the faculty members here. And we're just going to go around on the microphones and kind of tell us what the project's about and how excited you are to be involved in it and some of the things you've learned, and say your name as you come up to the microphone.
Hi, I'm Kenna, and my project is making mats for the homeless to sleep on. And we made two models. One was out of reusing plastic bags, and the other was out of two yoga mats and some foam. And we have both completed now, and they are seeming to work pretty well.
So those will be ready for the exhibition, huh?
Yeah, our exhibition is on Thursday at 6. We'd love if you guys could come.
I can't wait to see it. Thank you so much for doing that. Who's next?
My name is Harper, and my project was collecting feminine products to donate to the Jesus Center and the Torres Shelter. And we made a GoFundMe and raised like $1,300 and got lots of donations from people at school.
That's wonderful. So the intent is to take that money, take the donations, and hand it off to the Torres Shelter and the Jesus Center?
Yeah.
Wonderful. How many people worked on the project with you?
Six. Two groups like combined because we had the same project. So we made like one magic group.
Nice. What about the mat group? I should have asked that. How many students worked on the mats?
We had 3 people, and I think that was a good number for making the mats.
Alrighty, thanks. Who's next?
I'm Eliza Kate, and my group and I went to the city council meeting on Tuesday, and we proposed the idea of getting feminine products in the public bathrooms in Chico so that the homeless women can have those products. And I think that it could be a really good change if we have those products.
Let's listen to that right now, and okay. Then we'll come back.
Okay, so the next speaker is actually a group of speakers, Claire, Lucia, Diana, Eliza Kate.
Hi, my name is Claire, and this is Lucia, Eliza Kate, Diana. And we are 8th graders, students from Chico Country Day School. My classmates and I are currently doing a freeform project involving the homeless population in Chico and hand-making utilities to assist them. My group and I are working on not a physical product, but a plan. We propose the idea of having free tampons in 2 prominent public bathrooms, the Plaza and Bidwell Park. There are approximately 401 homeless women in Chico out of approximately 1,095 in Butte County, according to the Butte County Homeless Census Survey. And these women could use tampons, since some of them cannot reach shelters to get products. The state of California has recently passed a bill, AB 10, that requires Title I middle and high schools to have pads and tampons in at least half of their bathrooms.
We thought that not just kids at schools should have access to pads and tampons. Periods are hard enough for a woman who can afford feminine products, but when you are homeless, it is even harder to access them. Women should not have to worry about getting supplies for their period every month. Adding being homeless to the picture and worrying about paying for the pads and tampons is just an incredibly disturbing reality that homeless women face every single day. Research shows us that many public places do not provide feminine products in bathrooms. Many homeless women need these products to help them live the fullest life they can on the streets. It is the intent that the city would pay for the stocking and placement of these free tampon dispensers.
The cost of these products, if you stock them 72 per week in each bathroom, is approximately $4,300 per year. Also, it appears that there are only 1 bathroom downtown for the women. If we put free tampons in those 2 areas, then homeless women who cannot afford tampons for their periods can get them for free.
So consider this. Would you not put toilet paper in bathrooms? You would put the toilet paper in the bathrooms because otherwise it would be unsanitary. And it's just something that we need. For women, not having tampons in public restrooms is like not having toilet paper. So in just those areas, we can make a lot of progress. Restocking these products would be added to the janitorial duties, and we have talked to members of the Park Service, and they agree with this plan. Again, we thank you for your time. This is very important to us, and we hope it is important enough to you to make this change.
How was it? How was your experience speaking in front of City Council? Any comments around that?
It was scary at first, but then once we got it over with, it was like a fun experience.
It was wonderful to listen to and see. I wasn't there, but I saw it in the agenda when they archived it. So thank you so much for doing that. How many people worked on that project?
There were 4 of us.
4 of you? Alrighty. Yes. Thanks again. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Olivia, and my project is the Tiny Home for Homeless. And I chose to pick this project because I think that instead of having, like, not good-looking shelters on the streets that they make of, like, tarps and stuff, and making it into, like, little houses, it'll make the community look better. Mm-hmm. And I have about 7 people in my group that are working on this project, and yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And what's the plans? I kind of understand, talked a little bit with chat, you might just build it on site when they have a location, or how have you worked that out? How's that going?
Well, we're thinking of putting it on a trailer, and there's this guy that's starting to think of starting like a village called Simplicity Village.
Yeah, Charles with you. Shout out, Charles.
Yeah, and we're thinking of giving it to them to see what they think about. And
thank you so much for doing that. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Caitlin, and my group decided to make backpacks for the homeless. We did this because we thought it would be a good idea to have backpacks that they could store their personal belongings in. And so I was with three other people, and first we decided to just lay out our materials and figure out how we were going to do it. And so we looked online and we looked at different ways that you could make drawstring backpacks. And then we decided to just go for it. And they turned out really well. And we hope that the homeless will be able to use them.
How many people on your project, and maybe how many backpacks? How many you guys make?
Well, we made 12 backpacks in total. And there are three other people working with me. So we all kind of laid out the work evenly.
A lot of times when people do the backpacks, they put stuff in it. Are these just the backpacks themselves, or do you guys stock them?
Well, we're going to be working with another group, partnering with them, and they're going to put their products and things that they got donated to put in the bags. Mm-hmm. So we can give them kind of like a little goodie bag.
That's a wonderful thing. I've done that on multiple times, and it's some of the responses you get from that are amazing. Thank you for doing that. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Heather.
Hi, Heather.
I was in the same group as Caitlin, making the backpacks for the homeless. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I loved how she said, you know, we just kind of researched the drawstrings and we went for it.
Yeah.
Is that a good translation? You guys
have
a lot
much.
Of fun with it?
Yeah. So I sewed together the backpacks. We pretty much, like she just said, we looked at different things from Pinterest and put it together to make our own version of the backpacks. So, yeah.
That's nice. That's everyone. It's everyone, every student, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe we can get one of the faculty members, maybe Thomas over here, and maybe talk about any projects that aren't represented here. I know it was such a big school-wide project for eighth grade.
Yeah, so we have a lot of different projects that we were able to make, and the students did a fantastic job. First, before I get into that, I just got to say how proud I am of these young women. They're, as you can tell, listeners, amazingly well-spoken. They know their products, and as a teacher, it's just, you know, I'm brimming with pride being their teacher. So that's awesome. As far as the other projects that we have going on, we have some people making soap from scratch, deodorant, toothpaste, different items. They tried to identify items that they thought the homeless would actually need and use. We talked about the tiny house earlier. I think Olivia sold it short a little bit. I mean, this thing it's good to go. It's ready to, it'll be ready for our exhibition. People at chat have been nice enough to come over with, their trailer. They're going to pick it up. It's going to be one of the first houses in Simplicity Village. And so we're really excited about that. We got some, mobile carts some people made for homeless people to store some of their stuff on the street. There's just a lot of really good things that are going on right now at the school, and they can feel, you know, that they're actually making a difference for people in need. And that's a nice thing to see.
And learning more about the topic as they go, huh?
Yeah. Amazing. You know, it's pretty awesome. We were able to have them do a lot of research before to start. And so I think they got a good grasp on what the problem actually is. I mean, they see it in Chico, you know, but I think sometimes it's kind of out of sight, out of mind when they go to their houses at night. I don't know if they're thinking about it the same way. And so through this research and through these projects, we've been able to establish this empathy. And I think it's really helping the students connect with the people that they're actually helping through our project. And that's what it's all about for us. So it's great.
It's wonderful to have you guys. I think you've been on 4 or 5 times. And we're going to do another article in the Homeward Street Journal. We're going to cover the exhibition itself and interview some of the students. And I just can't wait to do that. Any closing comments?
I'd just like, again, to say thank you for the platform that you've given to us and for letting these students, you know, articulate what they've been up to. And we're really excited for everybody to come out this Thursday, April 12th at 6 p.m. for our exhibition. So if you got a chance, come by Chico Country Day School over at the middle school, and we'll have a nice exhibition set up for everyone.
All right, Guillermo Match, on behalf of the April 9th Without a Roof Radio program, I want to thank all the students and staff for coming in and for all the wonderful work you've done around this 8th grade project. And I understand you guys got something you want to say for our listeners right here, right now, on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Let's go Eagles!
Boom. Pledge drive, 895-0131. Call in now. Huge love and appreciation shout out to Chico Country Day School and their 8th grade project, Abandon Around Homelessness here in Chico. As we said at the end of that interview, 895-0131, this is a Pledge Drive show. And speaking of shows, before I even announce this, I will be doing work with the station in 2019. You can bet on that. We'll keep that as a spoiler for later on. But I got 78 shows and 271 days left. As of February of 2019, I'll have been doing Without a Roof half that time here on the radio and the rest doing social media and YouTube presence and written word, street newspapers, some in the CNR and beyond. And it's time to move on. So I've got 78 more shows, and I want to appreciate everyone that has listened to the show and supports the show, and give our phone bank operators a call right now, 895-0131, and make your pledge for People Power Radio. Marty, we're my friend Richard Munzer, who is kind of the mentor for Scott Huber this weekend. Why don't you give us like 60 seconds of what your experience was working with Scott Huber, trying to help him understand poverty, the worst form of violence.
Okay, 60 seconds. 60 seconds of my working with Scott. It's hard to break somebody in really fast for what he's doing. He's only going to be out here for a weekend. So when I did talk to him, it was more of advice of where to go, how to handle himself, and keeping things tight all the time. Checking in with him, you know, letting him know that, you know, it's not all as bad as he thinks it is, and he can handle it. But he's done a good job so far. He's stayed to himself, okay, talked to a few people, socialized a little bit. He slept out for the first time last night, and he slept in the toy shelter. So, and he was in the kitchen on the toy shelter. So he, you know, seen a little bit. Does he really know what it's like to be real homelessness? Well, no, because that one, you know, you've got to really be here.
Well, the real thing, you know, real homelessness means you don't have a lease or a place you live. He owns a home, so even though he experienced the experience of being homeless, he still had a home, so he wasn't physically homeless.
We talked about that, and the conversation was is to get him to understand that his network is still intact. His cell phone hooks up directly to the net, and it's there, where ours isn't. Getting on the net, finding electricity to get to the device that gets on the net, and so on down the line. Those are real hard fundamentals down here that we don't have. Those are serious needs, because it's all about networking now. And if you don't network, you're not going anywhere in the United States right this second, as far as I can tell. So, you know, network, network, network. No network, you're spinning your wheels.
Scott Huber, seen here being interviewed by Action News at the Chico Downtown Plaza, prior to Chico Friends on the Streets Sunday Meal and Survival Gear Giveaway. Without a Roof had a chance to sit down and have a conversation with Scott Huber about his weekend of going homeless in Chico. Gamma Mash out here for Chico Soul. I'm here with Scott Huber, who's on the last day of his weekend of experiencing homelessness from the viewpoint of, well, just being out here with no place to be. Welcome to Chico Soul, Scott Huber, and give us some insights on what you've seen.
What have I seen? I've seen the results of bad weather and how grumpy that would make me if I was long-term homeless. It's been pointed out to me that I came out here with very expensive rain gear, which is true, and not everybody, and probably, in fact, very few people have as nice a rain gear as I had. I can't imagine being any more wet than I was at the end of the day, because actually I was soaked to the bone. That's with good rain gear. And I saw people walking around with towels on their heads and shorts. And it's hard to imagine what that experience was like. First, props to the Torres Shelter for what they provide. I think they provide a very valuable niche. And I especially appreciated the fact that there were a number of families in there that had a place to stay. But I'd say it's a very limited niche. Fortunately, I was able to get in for short-term housing. You know, I passed all the tests. I had to take a urine test and a breathalyzer. It took me about 3 hours to go through the intake process. It's not a simple process. It's not like you can say, oh, it's raining tonight, I think I'll go by the Torres shelter and check in. For most of the people that I've met out here this weekend, I don't think they'd be able to get in. And so right away, that tells me that we have a huge shortage of low threshold shelters. We need places that people can just drop in, whether they've got a dog or an addiction problem or whatever the problem is. They need to be able to get in out of the weather. You know, I'd say one of the most pleasant surprises is how kindly a lot of these people treat each other. And when I don't mean to say these people as though they're different from me, but I saw a lot of examples of humanity. I was in line at the tourist shelter. There was a black guy there next to me who his engine had blown as he was passing through Chico. So he was staying at the tourist shelter. And it had been raining out all afternoon. There were a number of families with children in line behind us. And he motioned them over and said, come bring the kids. You know, the kids are coughing. It's cold outside. Put them in front of me in line. And I was really touched. It's been said many a times before, but there's not one type of homeless person, just like there's not one type of housed person. There's a multitude of different types, and I've seen them all from, you know, from the small families that you can tell that all they're trying to do is make sure that those kids have food and a roof and are kept warm and kept safe. To people who definitely have some addiction problems and everything in between. So I don't think there were any surprises. I think that it confirmed for me that there was really a wide range of types of people. And so there's a wide range of issues to address to try to solve it. Well, I think creating low threshold shelters, you know, even Helen Herberts, who's sort of a, what I would call sort of a hard-bitten advocate for against crime. I had a conversation with her the other day, and she was a Housing First advocate. So, I mean, to those of us that have thought about it, I think that we really get that you've got to get these people someplace safe to be before you can think that you're going to get buy-in from them on solving their challenges. So, you know, it goes back to that whole Housing First question, which I'm a believer in, and a lot of people, in, you know, of course, are. I respect the durability of these people because this is not easy, and I can't imagine that it's something that is anybody's first choice in life. Certainly wouldn't be mine.
All right, next up is Chico Friends on the Streets, Business from the Floor, comments that were made at the last Chico City Council meeting. Pledge Drive, man, I can't possibly say how much I love the station and I love our supporters and I love the folks that have been touched by the show and so moved by the show. Give us a call, 895-0131, and make a pledge now.
So our next speaker is Linda Furr.
Hi, I'm Linda Furr. Kindness has a rippling effect. Understanding has a rippling effect. Patrick Newman may be a pain in the neck to the city council, and to Chico First, but to many, many people out there, including the homeless, Patrick is a kind, compassionate, and nurturing human being. The homeless reflect that kindness right back to Patrick and to us of the Friends on the Street, who help Patrick on Sundays with food, stockings, underwear, blankets, all kinds of things. While I've been out there, I have met two of my former government students at the plaza among Chico's homeless. They were good, conscientious students, respected among their peers. I wondered what had happened to these capable people that wiped away their futures from them.
Carol Eberling, followed by Angela McLaughlin.
Good evening. I hope my words are well chosen. Being a child of the Great Depression, I know about poverty and the need for public assisted housing. But before I go into that, there's a short quote today from the Enterprise Record letters to the editor. Quote, how can we maintain the illusion that all's well with our city, state, and nation if those who can't make it insist on showing their faces? For me, it's comforting to remember that in the Great Depression, the federal government tried many ways to provide for compassionate responses to human need. In 1936 in Milwaukee, the federal government created a community Greendale. It was constructed to be a total community for people. There were 572 units, 366 buildings. I just checked it out this morning. Rentals were $19 to $46 a month, depending on family size and income. I visited one in 1952 after they had been sold as private residences, and it was absolutely beautiful. Hardwood floors, wonderful kitchens, a place that I would have loved to have been able to live in instead of the $7 a month rent that my parents paid for a very strange little upper flat. Public housing assistance is as necessary in a capitalist economy as it is expected in European countries. Public housing has been going downhill since Ronald Reagan, and social welfare after a 20-year assault by the Bradley Foundation, also in Milwaukee, and a foundation I know about. You could look it up. They spent 20 years writing those stories about welfare queens and people riding around in Cadillacs. And so social welfare was cut by Bill Clinton. Now we have people living in the rough. Instead of complaining or making life harder for our street people, isn't it better to look for a good solution? Maybe working with CHAT or other people in Chico who are trying to help the homeless. Tomorrow we'll remember Dr. Martin Luther King, who had a dream for a beloved community. We've come a long way from the 1960s, when there was warmth and love and hope for the future. Please find a way to create compassionate solutions for Chico's current homeless population. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Eberling.
Annie Chin, followed by Hillary Locke, who is our last speaker.
I've been involved with Chico Friends on the Street for more than 2 years now, and for about 100 Sundays in the last 2 years, I've gone out to the plaza with 30 vegetarian burritos to help feed our homeless brothers and sisters. As an aside, we make vegetarian food because we all know that meat production and consumption is one of the leading contributors to the pollution of our waterways. Just as plastic bottles and beer cans are harmful to our creeks and rivers, so are antibiotic residue, manure runoff, heavy metals, and disease-causing pathogens that are all byproducts of animal agriculture. Recently, a number of vocal critics have claimed that we do this for our own self-interest, to feel good, that we're harming the community, and that we contribute to the litter problem. As far as litter is concerned, Chico Friends on the Street probably has a near-perfect record of leaving the plaza in better shape than when we found it. As far as feeling good is concerned, personally, I can tell you, it doesn't feel good. To see our fellow citizens in desperation, some affected by addiction, others by mental health problems, including PTSD, from fighting unnecessary wars for our country, it can feel pretty bad. So we don't do it to feel good. We do it out of a sense of moral obligation. As for harming the community, I'm reminded of that old saying, the best defense is a good offense. Sure, some members of the Chico community, of this very council, of the business sector in town, are interested in a, quote, safer, cleaner Chico. But in their version of the ideal Chico, safety and cleanliness come at the cost of squashing civil liberties of the poor and homeless. That's harmful to our community. That's harmful to democracy. Laws like the sit-lie ordinance are unjust. Not providing 24-hour access to bathrooms is unjust. Harassing and punishing homeless citizens who are not harming themselves or others is unjust. The way forward is not more repressive laws and consolidation of homeless services. The way forward is the repealing of such laws like the sit-lie ordinance, providing more access and respecting that public spaces belong to us all, not just the property class. I don't expect this council to make any real progress. I fully believe that many here, including some service providers in town, are in the pocket of the business sector. So I invite the Chico electorate to learn about the issue, to truly consider how power is being abused to benefit certain groups at the expense of others. After all, in a proper democracy, power belongs in the hands of the people. Thank you.
Huge shout out, Friends on the Streets. And huge shout out for all our supporters and all of our members here at KZFR. We are in the spring pledge drive. We got a time for another call, I'm sure. And call now, 895-0131. You can also donate directly on our website, kzfr.org. Coming up next, talking about practice. And until next week, if you have a roof, be grateful.